This is The Draft Room with Brian Lowe. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL Draft.
Okay, so we'll move it down and give them a six. We'll give them a fifth. We're going to keep it.
Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
There's a lot of guys with good value on those slots.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside The Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
With the 17th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Nate Solder, offensive tackle, Colorado.
Well done, Jason. Well done. You see, this is what I really love about the new format of the NFL Draft. You got one round on Thursday night, and last night was phenomenal. I don't care. Last night was a treat. It was interesting, intriguing, entertaining. I'm talking from a league-wide perspective. Then you can sit back, take a deep breath, get a good night's sleep, relax, and all day Friday, you've got the first round to analyze and dissect, and you have the second and third round you can look forward to. And listen to me here. For the New England Patriots, this, tonight, is the meat of the draft. Last night was the appetizer. Tonight is the meat of the draft. Look at their history. 4 second-round picks 2 years ago, 3 second-round picks last year. They've got 3 on the docket tonight, 2 more in the third round. If you follow the Patriots, if you observe the Patriots, you cannot be surprised by what happened last night. Welcome inside the Draft Room. I'm Brian Lowe here on Patriots.com Radio. It is all on the table over the next hour. A special edition of Inside the Draft Room. Special time, special everything. We are getting you set for tonight, which is really going to be a fun time if you follow the Patriots. I'm telling you that. Get ready for tonight. You can ring us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. We want to hear from you about what the Patriots did and are about to do tonight and about the rest of the NFL. So let's just quickly recap. The Patriots at number 17, they take Colorado offensive tackle Nate Solder. You're not going to go back and look at all your mock drafts from the last few months. You're not going to find one that had Nate Solder coming to the Patriots. And if you do, let me know. I'd like to see it. Personally, I thought the Patriots were going to take an offensive tackle. I really did. I picked Anthony Costanzo when we did a mock draft a few days ago on Patriots Today, and that's what I really was saying during the day yesterday. Conventional wisdom had a defensive player, a front seven guy coming to the Patriots. They don't go conventional wisdom. I had Anthony Costanzo, so I was wrong about that, but I was right about the position. And what's very interesting about this pick, Bill Belichick late last night in his press conference pretty much definitively said, Nate Solder is a left tackle in the NFL. Who's the Patriots' left tackle? Their left tackle of the last 10 years is Matt Leite. Matt Leite is a free agent. The pick of Nate Solder is about Nate Solder and what he can bring to the Patriots, but it really truly is about Matt Leite.
Take me home, country road, to the place that I belong.
What will home be?
Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country road.
Listen, he's one of the most colorful players of the Patriots' current era, but I've got to be honest, I now don't think he's going to be back. When the Patriots made the pick, I did not rush to judgment and say that's the end of Matt Leite, because I really feel as though, or I felt last night, if the Patriots can sign Matt Leite to a 2-year contract, you know what? That's great. Matt Leite, Sebastian Vollmer, Nate Solder are your 3 tackles over the next 2 years. You never know if there's an injury. You never know if there's ineffectiveness. You've got 3 really good tackles, all first or second round picks. When Bill Belichick said last night that Nate Solder is a left tackle, I think that spells the end of Matt Leite. I really do at this point. Now, we can get into that and dissect what that really means, but I think Nate Solder is a cornerstone offensive tackle for a long time. My first instinct last night when Belichick said, well, you know, we have Moses Cabrera, our new assistant strength coach. He was at Colorado. You know, he helped us out with Nate Solder. My first instinct was to kind of chuckle and say, okay, you know, yeah, he probably gave a couple of, tidbits or whatever. But the more I think about it, the strength coach is probably a key guy in college. If you're an NFL team trying to figure out what really makes a guy tick, I actually think the strength coach can be very important. That's all about work ethic. It's all about commitment, first one in, last one to leave. And if they got some good reports from a guy like the strength coach at Colorado, by all accounts, Nate Solder is a hardworking guy. I think this is a really good pick. Now, again, let's not be surprised by what the Patriots did. They did not go with a pass rusher. Look at their drafts under Bill Belichick. Just about every year, we talk about pass rush, outside linebacker, as a key need for this Patriot, for this Patriots team. Yet the highest they've gone after a 3-4 defensive end slash outside linebacker hybrid guy was late in the second round last year with Jermaine Cunningham and the third round with Sean Crable 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. Tully Bantakane back in 03 in the seventh round is one of the only other guys they've ever picked at outside linebacker. They don't go after these linebacker types, outside linebacker types in the first round because the projection is too tough. Love that philosophy. Hate that philosophy. It doesn't matter. That is their philosophy. Don't be surprised that the Patriots didn't pick a pass rusher last night in the first round. That's not what they do. And you know what else? Don't be surprised that they traded their second round pick to New Orleans. Love it or hate it. You cannot be surprised by that. I pegged them to have one pick in the first round last night. No more, no less. And if anything, I thought there was a better chance they'd make zero first-round picks than two first-round picks. So they trade the 28th pick to New Orleans for a second-rounder this year and a first-rounder next year. Well, Patriots fans, you now have a team to root against next year. Much like Oakland this past year and Carolina this past year, you can vehemently root against Cameron Jordan, Mark Ingram, and the New Orleans Saints next year. Now, they're a pretty good team. There's a pretty good chance that first-round pick will be late in the round. But they traded the 28th this year. So if that pick next year is 1 through 27, then that's a victory for the Patriots. I understand that you have to wait a year for that guy, and that's important, but they also got an extra second-rounder this year. Now, there's several schools of thought here, understandably. At some point, don't you make the picks? Don't you want the Patriots to make the picks? Make the picks, stockpile the picks for a while, but make the picks eventually and go to town with them? Yes. Yes, there is that school of thought. But the making the picks that the Patriots like to do is tonight, the second round. 2 years ago, Patrick Chung, Ron Brace, Darius Butler, Sebastian Vollmer. The jury's out on some of these guys. You know, Chung, I think, is going to be a starter in the NFL for the Patriots for a while. Same with Vollmer. Brace and Butler, jury's still out. Last year, Rob Gronkowski, Jermaine Cunningham, and Brandon Spikes. You know, again, you can say the jury's out on Cunningham, the jury's out on Spikes. They showed some pretty good promise last year. But I think they did pretty well. And this is where they like to make the picks. They like picking in the second round because they probably feel that the difference between late first round picks and early to mid second round picks talent-wise is not great enough to justify the salary. Listen, we hear value all the time. Bill Belichick used that word last night in his press conference many times. But again, that's how they operate. That's what they do. Again, love it or hate it, don't be surprised by it. Inside the draft room here, Patriots.com, we want to hear from you. Hear what you think about what the Patriots did. Hear what you think about what other teams in the NFL did. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Brian is in Atlanta. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Excited about tonight. You're pretty happy with what the Patriots did last night, aren't you?
Yeah. When I first saw them show Solder, I figured, you know, even if he doesn't work out at guard, he's still over 6'8". I mean, he's still like over 6'6". You still make him a good fullback in case somebody gets hurt. And he already played tight end, so he's versatile. So.
Well, he is versatile, and that's important. But what I said at the top, Bill Belichick was very specific last night. This guy is a left tackle in the NFL, which is very interesting to hear from Belichick. They love the versatile guys, and I'm sure that if they need Nate Solder to move at another position, I think fullback is kind of unlikely, but potentially tight end sometime in his career or another spot in the offensive line, I'm sure he could do that. But they're bringing him in as a left tackle. And you don't always hear Belichick specify that. They're bringing him in as a left tackle. What do you think about what the Patriots did at 28, Brian?
I was shocked, but then again, it's all about options.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, look at McCourty. So, all things considered, I have faith in Belichick and his whole system because he did which I don't know why people don't really realize, he ran the whole team last year. And look how well they did, all things considered. So I got faith in his picks. They got more picks, and they do hold the first pick tonight overall, which means they can either trade for the future or go get someone. It's just more interesting to see, you know, where they're going to go with. But are they going to get some conversionary players, or are they going to get some more specific players like they did first round?
Right. Well, I think you nailed it. The 33rd pick tonight is really key. And I happen to think they're going to end up trading it. I really do, even though there's some good players out there. But, Brian, let's say they keep that pick. Who do you think they go with?
Ooh, that is – I don't know. I've been reading out the draft report, so I would – I don't know.
There are some guys. You know, and if they do finally, if this is the point where they're going to pounce on some defensive players, you know, there's some interesting guys still out there. Daquan Bowers, Akeem Ayers, Jabal Sheard. There are definitely some interesting guys. But you're right, Brian. They like to stockpile these picks, and they've got three in the second round tonight, and then they've got that extra first next year. Anything else surprise you last night around the NFL? You're in Atlanta.
I think the Falcons overall is what shocked me. I think when they first had Vic and LT, and they could have traded the Chargers and essentially had Michael Vick and LaDainian Tomlinson on the same team, but they didn't. That's when I stopped being a Falcons fan. And then all of a sudden, you know, the first thing they do, they trade away like five picks, including two. I could see first round this year, but you traded next year's picks too.
Mm-hmm.
That shocked me. That totally shocked me, because I thought that was way too much. Not saying he might not be a quality player, but still, you traded away the current and the future. That shocked me. I'm still in shock about that.
I think a lot of people are in the NFL. Hey, Brian, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate the insight today from Atlanta. And Brian's right. The Atlanta Falcons, to me, that's the biggest gamble, really by far, in the NFL last night. I mean, even more so than the teams that took quarterbacks. And, you know, you talk about Tennessee at number 8, taking Jake Locker. Jacksonville trading up to take Blaine Gabbert. Minnesota taking Christian Ponder far earlier than anyone would have expected. Those are all gambles. But what Atlanta did was really as stunning as you can imagine, because of how much they gave up. You know, if you have your sights set on a specific guy, then, you know, I give credit to a guy like Thomas Dimitroff, former Patriots executive, who was sitting at 27, but clearly, obviously, had identified Julio Jones as the player he must have in this year's draft. And the Atlanta Falcons are a very good team. Not a great team. They're a very good team, a team that had a really disappointing effort in the playoffs last year. But Dimitroff obviously feels as though the Falcons offensively are that one player away from being great. Now, defensively, could be another story. Absolutely could be a different story. And at this point, they do not have a pick in the second round. And I'm just taking a peek right now in the third round. They have the 91st pick overall. So they've got a while to go tonight before they can get a guy to help them defensively. But you give up four picks this year and another one next year for that pick number 6, you're putting a ton of pressure on Julio Jones. He has to be not just a guy who has a very good career, a great career. He needs to immediately be a Pro Bowl caliber player for that to really end up being a pick that made sense for Atlanta to do. And Thomas Dimitroff has done a really good job in the drafts his first couple years. They've made more good picks than not. And you've got to give credit right there for what he's done in the past. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure right there. So that was clearly the first moment in the draft last night that was truly eye-opening. Now, number 7, 49ers, Aldon Smith, that was eye-opening as well. It's a pick like that that makes you wonder, why do we really, and I'm in this trap too, why do we really follow mock drafts? Why do we read mock drafts day after day after day? They're a lot of fun. But who had Aldon Smith going number 7? People thought Aldon Smith could be there for the Patriots at 17 or 28. And then you start getting into this quarterback mess with Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder. You started getting, and I've said this over the last couple of weeks, that there's a pretty good chance you're going to see quarterbacks rise in the first round this year, maybe more so than what we thought, you know, when the pre-draft process began. And sure enough, Four of them were there. Four of them go in the top 12. There's still a few more. There's still a few more, like Ryan Mallett and Andy Dalton, who are there for the taking tonight. And maybe that's at number 33, where the Patriots end up finding a team that needs a quarterback. You know, something like San Francisco, teams that passed on quarterback. Cincinnati in the first round, they might go up there and take it. You're listening to Inside the Draft Room here on Patriots.com Radio. Here until 1 o'clock as we sort of turn the page from last night and focus in on tonight, and helping us do that right now is Chris Price from WEEI.com. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. Did you get some sleep last night?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just enough to keep me regular.
Just enough to, you know, clear the mind a little bit and start thinking in terms of, really, what kind of opportunities the Patriots have tonight. And, Chris, we were just talking about how the last couple of years, the second round has been the sweet spot for the Patriots. It's where they really go for quality and quantity, and it looks like tonight is no different.
This is a team that has really made their bones mm-hmm. in a lot of ways in the second round, especially the last couple of years when you look at guys like Rob Gronkowski, I think, is a great example of that. They've been able to find some really good value in those second-round picks, and I think they've set themselves up very, very nicely. If they are going to use that number 33 pick, if they keep it, they've set themselves up very nicely to get some second-round value today. There is some very good value, and there's some very good talent out there on the board on both sides of the football. If they want to go running back, you know, there are guys out there like LeSure. If they want to go defender, I know that there's some questions about Daquan Bowers, but he's out there as well. So, again, I think the Patriots have set themselves up very nicely to pick up some good second-round talent today.
Well, let's start right there with number 33. What do you think they end up keeping number 33, or do you think, as Belichick already said last night, teams have been calling the Patriots, do you think they end up finding an offer, a team giving them an offer they can't refuse for that number 33?
You know, my gut feeling right now says that they deal it. There are teams out there who are still looking for quarterbacks, and I think that the Patriots would be a pretty good match with one of those teams. There are quarterbacks still out there on the board. Colin Kaepernick, I think Dalton's still around, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Dalton, Mallett, Kaepernick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there are a lot of quarterbacks out there. There are a lot of really intriguing names out there. And I think the Patriots would be good trade partners with a team that is still looking for a quarterback, not even a starting quarterback at this point, but a backup at that number 33 spot. Because again, with this team building process, with free agency now after the draft as opposed to before the draft, I think that's thrown some teams for a loop. And I think that they might reach for a quarterback, or they might need to reach for a quarterback in this situation, as opposed to maybe thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go out and go in free agency and kind of mm-hmm. give me a veteran, get me over guy for a couple of years. I think that the focus this year being on the draft, I think there are a lot of teams out there who will have a tendency to reach for a quarterback, and I think the Patriots are going to be able to make them pay.
And you look at the teams that, you know, were in the top 10 or 12 last night, the ones that didn't take a quarterback, those are the ones that we're looking at tonight. And you know, Buffalo picking second in the second round tonight, Cincinnati, Arizona, Washington, these are teams that, you know, there was some thought that maybe they'd go for quarterbacks in the first round. Now they won't. Could the Patriots get another first-round pick next year if they trade that 33rd pick?
Boy, can you imagine the Patriots going into the 2012 draft with three first-round picks?
Amazing.
That'd be amazing. That really would be amazing. I think the team that jumps out to me, as you mentioned, is Cincinnati. There's so much uncertainty at the quarterback position there. We all know that Carson Palmer wants to move on. I think that would be certainly a great pick for the Patriots. Washington, there's the possibility there as well. So, yeah, there are a lot of possibilities. There are a lot of teams out there who I imagine are really thinking hard about that number 33 pick and what it would take for them to pry that away from the Patriots.
That's right. We're talking to Chris Price from WEEI.com. Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's go back to last night. The Patriots select Nate Solder at number 17. What was your first reaction? I personally was not stunned by the position. I certainly didn't think Nate Solder would be the player, but I really felt that offensive tackle would be a way that they'd go. What was your reaction? What was your thinking when they chose Nate Solder?
I agree with you to a point. I thought that they would go offensive line in the first round. I thought they would get a pass rusher and an offensive lineman in the mm-hmm. first round. I was a little bit surprised that they did go tackle. I thought that they would lean a little bit more toward interior linemen, someone like a Danny Watkins, maybe at 28. But from all reports that we're getting about Solder, he's the kind of guy who will fit in very nicely in New England. I will say this.
I imagine that this brings Matt White's time here in New England to a close, because he was described last night, and he told us on the conference call, he is a left tackle, he's played left tackle, and Bill Belichick described him as a left tackle in his post-draft press conference last night. So I think he has a chance to come in and make a real impact on this team as a rookie. I'm not saying he's going to be ready to go from the jump, but I wouldn't be surprised that if he was not, if he wasn't a regular contributor by the end of, toward the middle of his rookie season.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because as soon as I heard Bill Belichick say, specify left tackle, which, let's face it, Belichick isn't always going to be that forthcoming. And that was specific information that he's a left tackle in the NFL. That, to me, I agree with you, signaled that that might mean the end of Matt Light, although you never know. If they can sign Matt Light for a 1 or 2 year deal, something short, and they have three pretty good tackles to fill in at right and left tackle, maybe they go that route. Hard to tell. Now,
the thing that jumps out at me really is that in years past, anyway, Belichick has really coveted versatility in his offensive linemen. That's one thing that was a bit of a mild surprise.
Yeah.
And to hear Belichick describe him just as purely as a left tackle, to hear Solder talk about himself purely as a left tackle, you wonder if there is a little versatility there between left and right tackle, and maybe you can make it work with Vollmer. But I will say this, if you get Vollmer at one tackle position and you get Solder at the other tackle position, you're talking about two guys who are 6'8", 6'9", 320. You have a pair of absolute killers on that offensive line.
Yeah, it's about 13 feet worth, or more than 13 feet worth of tackle, and probably 640 pounds or so. That could be pretty good. And I think Tom Brady, who has a chat going on in the last hour or so for Under Armour, I saw some notes already that he said, hey, a quarterback is never upset when a team drafts a tackle. So I think he's pretty happy. Let's just talk really quickly about that 28 pick where the Patriots trade with New Orleans. It seems like now, Patriots fans obviously will pay their most attention to the New England Patriots in 2011, but I think a lot of eyes are going to be on the Saints, because when we talk about these last couple of weeks and months going into the draft, if people said, well, the Patriots are going to end up with Cameron Jordan and Mark Ingram, I think that would have made a lot of fans happy. So did the New Orleans Saints basically make the first round picks that a lot of people thought the Patriots would make?
I agree with that to a point. I think that Jordan would have been a great fit in New England as a defender. He's one of those guys who is kind of a classic 3-4 defensive end outside linebacker, kind of a 5 technique kind of guy. But I don't think that Mark Ingram would have been a good fit here in New England. I think New England was very well positioned at the running back spot going into this draft. They had a 1,000-yard rusher last year. They averaged over 4 yards a carry. I think the combination of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Daniel Wood had served them very well. I do think that the Patriots want to add a little depth at the position, but I think using a first-round pick on a guy like Mark Ingram, when you have other needs that need to be addressed, particularly in the offensive line, particularly pass rush, I don't think that would have been a good idea for the Patriots. But I do agree with you on Jordan. I thought Jordan would have been the pick at number 17 as opposed to Solder.
And now Patriots fans have a team that they can vehemently root against next year, the New Orleans Saints.
That always helps.
We had Oakland and Carolina this past year, knowing the Patriots had Oakland's first and Carolina's second, and now it's New Orleans. Before we let you go, Chris, what's going to stun us tonight? League-wide, I mean, any thoughts on we had a few stunners last night, like Alden Smith and Jake Locker. Is there going to be a stunner tonight? Is there going to be something, is there anything left that's going to, just capture everyone's imagination, whether it be Patriots or otherwise?
I think that really the most compelling story for me, one of the stories that I'm going to be watching, is Ryan Mallett. Here's a guy who was really polarizing heading into the draft. A lot of people loved his big arm. A lot of people said, he's the kind of guy who will be a good quarterback in the National Football League, but there's still character questions out there about him. A lot of people initially had him pinned as a first-round guy. I'm going to be interested to see how far he slides, because I think his future could be tied into what the Patriots are doing, because, again, if the Patriots are looking to deal that number 33 pick to a team that needs a quarterback out there, is there a team out there who wants to take a chance on a guy like Ryan Mallett? I think Mallett's a fascinating guy. I think he's a compelling guy. And he's one of the guys I'm going to be keeping an eye on tonight.
All right. Before we let you go, why don't you tell us what's cooking WEI, WEI.com today, tonight, tomorrow?
Oh, it's all about draft coverage. It's all about draft coverage this weekend. We got a great piece up there now that I worked on late last night. I was able to get in touch with Nate Solder's high school coach, Bob Markin, and he kind of filled me in, not so much on who Nate Solder is really on the field, but as an off-the-field guy, his character guy, and he really has some interesting stuff to say. I think a lot of Patriots fans would be fascinated to check that out. It's at WEEI.com now. We're going to be having draft coverage from now until the end of the weekend.
Awesome, Chris. Thank you very much. Busy day, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes today, and should be fun tonight.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Chris Price, WEEI.com, joining us for a few minutes. He's got great stuff, really plugged into the Pats, and we appreciate him joining us, dissecting what the Patriots did last night and what they're going to do tonight. You're listening to Inside the Draft Room, a special edition here as we go between the first round and the second round. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We've got another half hour to go. We want to hear from you, and we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Inside the Draft Room, 508-298-0398 or webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back inside the Draft Room. It's a Friday, 12:30 Eastern, and we're cranking here. We have a lot to get to, dissecting the first round, looking at round two and three tonight here on patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I can't wait.
508-298-0398. Bill, listen, we can't wait either because you make it happen on day two. Whether players that are picked by the Patriots end up panning out or not, day two in the new format of the NFL draft, which I really enjoy, is really where the Patriots,
Hey, if you see it, hit it.
You know, they're not about style in general. they're about substance, and substance on day two, I think, is really what they do. On Wednesday, when we had our last show inside the draft room, we had Chad Reuter of NFLDraftScout.com joining us, and he and a lot of other draft analysts and reporters have put out their second round mock draft, taking what happened last night, spending some time overnight looking at who's left on the board, just as importantly looking at what teams in the second round did on the first day, so we know what their needs are. And you know, at number 33 for the Patriots, he has Daquan Bowers of Clemson. Now, Daquan Bowers, as we've found out over the last week or so, was destined to be one of the most intriguing players in this year's draft because of this knee injury that reportedly has removed him from some teams' draft boards. Now, we don't know if the Patriots are one of those teams. They very well could be, or they're one of those teams whose doctors have cleared Daquan Bowers, but the Pats feel that, you know, if enough other teams let him fall all the way through round one, maybe we pounce. I've got to think that he's on their radar. Or put it this way, it's one of two things. They have him completely off their board, and if he's there in the seventh round, they're not even touching him. Or he's a guy that they have some interest in here. I don't think the Patriots would take him at 33, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Patriots trade with Washington. Let's say Washington, which has the 41st pick in the draft this year, gives the Patriots that second-round pick and a first next year, and the Patriots are there at 41 and Daquan Bowers is still available. You know, I think he might be there for them. But I think at 33, they've got players who are safer fits for what they do, potentially. Talking about Akeem Ayers, Brooks Reed, or maybe, and I think this would be a dark horse because they didn't go defense in first round, but maybe running back, maybe Michael LeShore. They've got a lot of options and flexibility. We've already heard Belichick say that teams who pick in the middle of the second round have already been calling the Patriots. My guess is when Bill Belichick said that last night, he was basically telling the teams that haven't called them, hey, ring us up. We want to hear from you. And I think they're fielding phone calls today, right up to about 5:55, 6 o'clock tonight. And I'd be surprised. I really would be surprised if they pick at 33. Now, what happened last year, the first time the NFL went to this new format of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there was a lot of spotlight on the St. Louis Rams, who had that 33rd pick. How much value would be there in terms of trade? The thinking being that from midnight last night, or 11:30, whenever the draft ended, till 6 o'clock today, on the second day, teams will have had the opportunity, like fans and draft analysts, to sit back, examine the first 32 picks, examine the order of picks in round two, who needs what, and teams would see a player that they covet still there at number 33, and they'd be willing to give up more than usual for that 33rd pick. And I think that's the case again, because I think Andy Dalton and Ryan Mallett, the two quarterbacks who, for the lack of a better term, fell out of the first round, are still there. And like I was talking with Chris Price just a few minutes ago, you look at the guys in the first round, in the second round, that didn't take a quarterback in the first round but could use one. Buffalo, number two. Cincinnati, number three. Arizona, number six. Washington, number nine. San Francisco, number 13. Washington again at number 17. So there's a handful. There's 8 or 10 teams, 8 or 10 spots from early to mid second round tonight of teams that could use a quarterback, and maybe they feel that the value now is there. These are teams that didn't want to reach for a quarterback early on, but they're willing to in the second round because this is a sweet spot. And I think we're going to see teams like that take a quarterback or maybe trade up for a quarterback with the Patriots. Now, I mentioned just a little while ago that Chad Reuter has his new second round mock draft. He actually has Colin Kaepernick being the next quarterback off the board going to Washington at 41. He's got Andy Dalton falling to 46, San Francisco, and he's got Ryan Mallett 57 to Seattle. So in his eyes, these other teams will be able to wait on these quarterbacks as opposed to needing to trade high up to the Patriots and give up maybe a first-round pick next year. He thinks those teams will be able to wait. Let's go back to the phones now. Don in California has some thoughts on what the Patriots might or could or should do at number 33. Don, how you doing? What do you think about 33?
How you doing, D-Lo?
Doing well.
I'm thinking DB, which is Bill Belichick. I don't think he should trade the pick. I think it's time to make a pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should go with Daquan Bowers or the Marvin Austin kid from Carolina.
Very interesting. I like Marvin Austin a lot. When we did a mock draft on Patriots Today the other day, I actually had them taking Marvin Austin at 33. Because I think he's got some character concerns, he's got some off-the-field concerns, but you know, you can't always find the type of athleticism and size that Marvin Austin out of North Carolina provides, and defensive tackle right. isn't their biggest need, but he could be interesting. Now, Daquan right. Bowers, does the knee worry you?
He worries me, but then again, it's time to get a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just tired of waiting. If Belichick trades the 33rd pick, I think I'm going to cut the draft off for the rest of the day because I'm going to be so upset.
Well, I'll tell you what. I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree because I'm with you on they need a pass rusher. My take on what they did last night and probably what they're going to do tonight is you can't be surprised by what they do. They're going to take a defensive player, a pass rusher, in the second round tonight. I'm very certain of that. But at 33, if they can get more picks, that's what they like to do. It's frustrating, I know, but that's what they like to do. And if you got to figure that the Patriots right now, as they're looking at their board, they have 8 to 10 guys, most likely, that they feel are similar in value and are all in that 33 to 45 range. And if they can make a trade where they can still get their guy at, say, 35, 37, 38, that's what they do. And they might be able to do it. But I hear you, Don. You want to see them actually make these picks. What good is a 2012 first-round pick for the 2011 Patriots, who should be Super Bowl contenders? I understand that. Were you surprised by what they did yesterday, Don?
No, I actually like the move. I think Soto was an actual good pick.
Yep.
I liked Karimi better, but I think Soto has a great upside. So I think it is a great pick. I would have liked to maybe got him at 28
mm-hmm.
and maybe got Hayward or Jordan at that 17th pick.
Absolutely, that's a school. I think Cameron Hayward would have been a really fine pick, and I think, you know, when we saw some of these players falling a little bit, you know, in that 10, 12, 14 range, you know, some people right. thought, well, maybe they'll trade up and get one of these guys, or maybe one of these guys will fall to them, and there were some of those guys that fell to them, but they chose not to take it. And then how about that New Orleans trade that they made? What'd you think of that, Don?
Oh, I love that trade. A first next year.
Yeah.
Plus the second this year, so now we have 3 second-round draft picks.
That's right.
Now, I like that move, but I think this 33 pick, BB should get a pass rush. If not, if he maybe can get another first-rounder next year, I call him the smartest guy in the NFL because then I will watch the draft. But I just think we really need to address the need of a pass rusher, B-Lo. And I like Bowers, and I really like Austin from Carolina. I think he'll be a good fit, and he'll help Wolford out instead of Wolford being the only load on the line, you know?
Absolutely. Don, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Very interesting thoughts. And, you know, Don won't watch the draft if they trade number 33. Don won't watch the draft if they trade 33. I got to tell you, I think they're going to end up trading 33, but I still think they'll be able to get somewhere in the second round a guy that they like, a pass rusher that they like. Webradio at patriots.com, Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Let's go to Marcus in Tampa. Marcus, how you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So your thoughts on Bill Belichick? He's taking a beating today, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the herd on TV, and Colin Cowherd is kind of killing Bill Belichick. And I'm thinking to myself, like, last night I was watching the draft, and, you know, the 17th pick, okay, we need an O-line. But the 28th pick, I mean, you got to think about it. We traded up one spot, got a first-round pick for next year, a second-round pick for this year as well. Like, I mean, the Saints, they could go through the same thing that, you know, the Bengals went through. They won a division or whatever. They could totally suck, you know, the next year, and we could have a top 10 pick. It's unlikely, but you trade up one pick and you mm-hmm. get two picks in return. I mean, I just think that I don't know why he's taking such a beating. It was kind of a head scratcher yesterday, but when I found out how much we got back for it for trading up one pick,
yep.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I just think it was a good move.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't see it as a head scratcher. I saw it as par for the course for the Patriots. And again, whether you think it's smart or not, it's what they tend to do. And I felt going into the draft last night, they had two first-round picks. I felt they'd make one pick and that they'd add another pick for next year. So, yep. As far as position, though, Marcus, did offensive tackle surprise you?
No, I didn't, because I really don't know what we're going to do with Matt Light or what we're going to do with Logan Mankins. I know we tagged him or whatever, but, I hope they sign either, maybe one of them back. You know, I think we could have took a O-line earlier, but, the last, lineman we took was Mankins. I think he was a first-round pick, so, the guy that we had that we turned from a wrestler into a lineman, he's been, I think he just retired.
Stephen Neal.
If he's a project, I know Bill will work with him. I just hope, in the second round we can go get, a pass rusher and, maybe two defensive ends, right, or old linebackers.
Well, I don't think Nate Solder is a project. I think the what's great about Nate Solder is that they should be able to take him and plug him right in as a starter if they want to this year. I think he's not a project. I think he's a guy that can be an immediate starter for the Patriots. Now, as far as taking pass rushers today, I agree with you. I think it would be surprising and worth criticizing if the second round, or certainly if the third round also comes and goes tonight and the Patriots have not selected a pass rusher of any kind. Because I think there are still some good ones available. It's a matter of which ones fit the Patriots. But they go into tonight with five picks. Whether they make those five picks, or maybe they make three or four picks, move around again, maybe they make six picks, who knows. They've got the flexibility tonight, and I think you'd be surprised. You have every right, Marcus, to be surprised and disappointed if they do not take a pass rusher tonight. We thank Marcus in Tampa for joining us and for his thoughts. Webradio at patriots.com is how to get in touch with us. Let's go to the inbox right now, and this is from Zachary, who says, every fan complaining about the Patriots not drafting Mark Ingram needs to reduce their lead intake because it's apparently taking its toll. You don't take a 5'9 running back who runs a 4.6 240, who has injury issues, with the 17th pick, especially when you already have two other midget running backs who get it done. You don't even take him anywhere in the first round. Good luck, New Orleans, and thanks for the first and second. We'll take them. Well, I'll tell you what, Zachary, I kind of agree with you. I never thought Mark Ingram was going to be there for the Patriots, or I didn't think Mark Ingram would be a fit for the Patriots. If he was still there at 33, maybe. But I agree with you. Running back is a position that you can take, get quality later in the draft, or, as the Patriots are proving, after the draft. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead were undrafted players, and they are productive guys. Now, the Patriots need reinforcement and some explosiveness, I think, at running back. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead aren't exactly your explosive running backs. They need a running back, and I think whether it's Michael LeSure, Ryan Williams, Daniel Thomas, keep that name in mind, Daniel Thomas, I think tonight they're going to take a running back. Maybe it's the third round, but I think they go into next year with Woodhead, Green Ellis, a guy they take tonight, and then maybe Kevin Faulk is still around, or maybe Sammy Morris is still around. Maybe Fred Taylor doesn't retire. I think they take a running back. I did not think it was going to be Mark Ingram. Zachary also says, as for Nate Solder, yes, he needs to get stronger, but guess what? Every 21 or 22-year-old kid who comes into the NFL needs to get stronger. This kid was one of the fastest, if not the fastest, offensive lineman in the draft. He has the height and frame to put on more weight. He performed at a high level in a tough conference and stayed healthy while doing it. Matt Light is as good as he is going to be. Solder could be a lot better, and Vollmer already is. See his 2009 performance against Dwight Freeney when he was at left tackle, and 2010 performance against Robert Mathis at right. And Zachary says, the pick fills a potential need, builds for the future, and arguably is an upgrade over what we have now. Good job, Bill. More to come as the draft continues. Thanks, Zachary. Some interesting thoughts right there. That's a case of someone who does agree with what the Patriots did as far as picking Nate Solder, and agrees with what they didn't do as far as picking Mark Ingram in the second round. And now they've got more picks that they can use and make tonight and next year. Let's check in with Drew, who is in Woburn and wants to talk about the second day of the draft. Drew, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. What are your thoughts on tonight?
I think the Pats are in a good spot. We always say, and Bill, we trust. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have Ingram, a guy like his size, that speed coming off the backfield would have been a good way for Brady to spread the field. And, when he was playing at college, he was one of the best pass protectors. That was one of his big strengths. Mm-hmm. I remember you know, them talking about that last night. So it was tough to see, but, you know, offensive tackle like we got is, you know, you can't teach that. He's a big, big boy.
And Tom Brady already today, in doing a chat for Under Armour, already said, hey, you know, I want Matt Light back, he said, but no quarterback's going to argue with taking a 6'8" offensive lineman in the first round. So if it makes the quarterback happy, we should be happy too, right?
Yeah, hey, in Brady we trust and in Bill we trust. You know, we always say that here in Boston.
That's right. So, okay, the 33rd pick is on the table right now. The Patriots are on the clock. What do they do at 33? Do they make a pick or do they trade it, Drew?
You know what? I think to trade away would be good. I mean, there really isn't a huge standout on the board that I see that could really, you know, benefit us to the fact that he can come in and really make a huge impact. I feel like if they trade away and kind of get either first round for next year or, you know, even a later round pick to kind of have maybe even like a back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think would be huge for us. So.
Well, they've got 3 second-rounders and 2 third-rounders, and you figure they have a chance to really, you know, spread out the positions as well. You know, there's really, I got to be honest with you, there isn't a single position that I would be stunned if they took in the second round, and that includes quarterback. It would be the most surprising position, but tonight, if they took a quarterback tonight, second or third round, hey, they took Kevin O'Connell in the third round just 3 years ago. He didn't pan out, but the thinking is, if there's a guy that they like there in the second or third round, you know, it wouldn't be a stunner if they take him. You know, tight end is another one. Tight end would be surprising because they took two good ones last year. But don't forget, Algie Crumpler is only going to be around probably one more year. He's a blocking guy. What if they find that pure blocking tight end that fits them in the second or third round? Maybe they go in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with that too. You also got to look at, you know, Ryan Mallett too from Arkansas. That kid he's really, really developed. I think he's a really good NFL quarterback. If you look at Brady coming out of Michigan, he was kind of in the same spot. I think Mallett is, you know, really strong, really tall, just an athlete. You know, not a lot of speed, but, you know, finds ways to win. I mean, he had a couple great drives there at the end of the game against Georgia, I believe it was, and also a couple, I think it was Florida too. He had a great drive to win it. But, you know, a guy like him is, you know, to play behind Brady. I mean, Brady, you know, the Brady era will end, you know what I mean? As much as we don't want to accept it, you know, it's going to end soon. But, you know, a guy like Mallett to learn from Brady, you know, to be in that, you know, offense with Bill and, you know, just develop as a Patriot, I think wouldn't be bad to see either.
Absolutely. All right, Drew. Drew and Wilburn, thank you very much for the call. And as far as quarterbacks go, you know, a lot of it also hinges on what they really feel about Brian Hoyer. And when they drafted Kevin O'Connell in 2008, they had Matt Cassel, obviously, but they didn't have Matt Cassel was an unknown and going to the last year of his contract. We know what happened with Matt Cassel, obviously, but I think depending on how they really view Brian Hoyer, you know, that could play a role in when or if they take a quarterback here in the first round. In the second round tonight. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. About 10 minutes left in this special edition of Inside the Draft Room. The PFW guys will be back on the radio tonight. And don't forget to check us out on Patriots Today here on patriots.com all throughout the day. Nate Solder is expected to be here at Gillette Stadium later this afternoon, and I'm sure you'll be hearing a little bit about from him on the radio here tonight and then also on Patriots Today. Now, looking back again at a few notes from last night and what surprised and all that, you know, one spot that kind of took me by surprise was the Giants having Prince Amukamara fall to them. I got to tell you, I would not have been stunned if the Patriots took Prince Amukamara at 17, because my thinking at that point was, here's a player that a lot of people felt would have gone a lot earlier. And if he's that good, I think cornerback, the Patriots always say, and Belichick always says, you can never have enough of them. Yes, they took a first-round cornerback last year, a second-round cornerback the year before. They've taken or given Lee Bodden a big-time contract. But Prince Amukamara, I think, was the second-best cornerback, but maybe a top-10 player in this year's draft. And having him fall to the Giants, I think, was really interesting. And I think the Giants should be pretty happy with what happened there. Now, the Browns, who had a chance at number six, They could have gotten an impact guy, but they get a huge haul from Atlanta. They go down to number 27, then move back up to 21, trading with the Chiefs, and get Phil Taylor. Thought that's a little bit of a reach for them. I think they missed an opportunity, the Browns did, to either take a true big-time impact guy at number 6, or either a 21 or 27, take a different, maybe a safer defensive player like Cameron Jordan, Muhammad Wilkerson, but they go with Phil Taylor. So those were a couple of interesting notes that caught my eye as the first round unfolded. Let's go to Joe in Jackson, Mississippi, who I believe is shocked about what happened in the draft. Joe, what shocked you?
What shocked me the most was I thought we was getting Mark Ingram. I thought we was looking for a running back, but, you know, I'm a Patriots fan to the heart. So if the front office want to take a take an offensive lineman to protect Tom Brady, man, I'm with it.
Well, here's what I got to say to you, Joe. I don't see how you can be shocked based on how they tend to operate. I think a running back in the first round would have been a surprise to me because it's a position that you can get similar value, I think, later on. I do think they take a running back tonight, but I'm not stunned that they didn't take Mark Ingram. Now, you mentioned the tackle. You're okay with what they did at offensive tackle, taking Nate Solder?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, good. Good.
But,
well,
you know, you make a lot of sense. I really, they can invest in it later on, but at the same time, I was looking for Belichick them to bring in a quarterback or a running back. There's somebody who can study Tom Brady for when Brady's gone.
Well, you know, the quarterback thing is interesting, and I would have been surprised if they took a quarterback in the first round. But like I was saying a little while ago, a lot depends on Brian Hoyer and what they really feel about his development. I think they'll take a quarterback at some point in this draft, and if they take one tonight, then you figure, well, that's the guy they're grooming. If they take one tomorrow, then it's a guy who maybe is battling with Brian Hoyer for a backup spot and isn't necessarily the quarterback of the future. But, you know, I think every position is on the table for them. I really do at this point, and they've got the 5 picks. What do you think they do at number 33, Joe? Do you think they make a pick there, or do you think they trade it?
Man, going to the Patriots, it's probably going to be a trade. They always looking to make a move, man. So probably trade, or they pick, I believe, Andre Tippett.
You think they'll pick Andre Tippett?
I believe they'll pick Andre Tippett.
Well, they already have Andre Tippett. He is he works in the front office, and he's also not to show disrespect to Andre Tippett. He's a little too old, I think, for this year's draft.
I know, it was a joke.
I don't think he'd bring the youth. I don't think he'd bring the youth and fresh legs that the Patriots are looking for. But I'll tell you what, Andre
Tippett.
He
heard you say that he would come right down here below and kill you.
You know what? I probably deserve it. But here's the thing. I know he's not going to come down here right now to kill me because he will be involved in the second round of the draft. In fact, he's in New York at Radio City Music Hall, and he's going to be making the selection or calling out the selection for the Patriots tonight. I'm not sure if that's the 33rd pick or all of them. But, Joe, listen, Andre Tippett, one of the all-time greats for the Patriots. I don't think Bill Belichick's going to call his name tonight.
I know, man.
But I appreciate the enthusiasm, Joe. Joe in Jackson, Mississippi, calling for the Pats to take Andre Tippett. Hey, Jason, listen. Andre Tippett, at any point, you know, he can absolutely beat me to a pulp whenever he wants. He doesn't need me to make a comment like that for him to come and beat me up.
But I think Tip likes you, doesn't he?
I think he does, but I don't know that he does. Does he like me enough? Here's the question. Does he like me enough for him to allow me to make a comment like I just did, bring up the age conundrum, and just lay off and not beat me up?
You know, Tip, he might come down to your office and go, you mother.
don't finish that one. I don't know where Joe is really going with that one, the Andre Tippett comment. But it is true that Andre Tippett, I think what the NFL is doing tonight, which is kind of cool, is for all the second-round picks, I don't know if it's all or most or some, NFL alums of NFL teams who are on the clock will be calling out the selections. And, with the Patriots having 3 second-round picks, I'm not sure if that means Andre Tippett will get triple the FaceTime tonight or if it's just one of them. But if you tune in, you'll see Andre Tippett around 6 o'clock making that number 33 selection. You're listening Inside the Draft Room here on Patriots.com Radio, a special hour dissecting last night and looking ahead to tonight. I'll be very curious to see Daquan Bowers, obviously, tonight and where he goes. Torrey Smith is another one. Jonathan Baldwin snuck into the first round last night He went to the Chiefs at number 26, a bit of a surprise pick there, both in terms of the Chiefs taking a wide receiver and Baldwin going in the first round. And I think that leaves Torrey Smith, Leonard Hankerson, guys like that, as some pretty interesting wide receivers who could go off the board, I think, early in the second round tonight. You know, maybe a team like maybe Cleveland. I think Cleveland is very much in the market for a wide receiver. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I think Arizona as well. I think there's a lot of teams that could go wide receiver, and I think the Patriots are one of them. Like I just said, there's no position that would stun me. I think cornerback Brandon Harris is an interesting guy to keep in mind.
And I'm stunned.
Well, when we come back to these pass rushers, you know, Akeem Ayers, Brooks Reed, Justin Houston, we love to think about the pass rush, and that position is in the spotlight for the Patriots. The question is, to me, the question is not, will they take a pass rusher tonight? Because I think they will. I think they will. I think at some point they'll find their guy, and maybe it's a guy that we've been talking about, maybe not, but I do think that they're going to take a pass rusher, but I don't know that it's going to be at number 33, or if they trade back to 39, 41 around there, I don't know it's going to be there either. You know, I think it could be Marvin Austin, a defensive tackle who, believe it or not, would help the pass rush. He might not get the sacks, but he'd help the pass rush. I think he's an interesting guy to look for. And again, which teams are going to be the ones to call the Patriots and actively try to get that number 33 pick? I think the team to keep in mind is Washington. You know, Washington traded down yesterday and took Ryan Kerrigan. Not exactly what people thought they'd do. I think there was a lot of thinking that they'd take a quarterback, but they end up trading down and they take Ryan Kerrigan. But I think they're going to go quarterback. I think they're a team that, whether it's Colin Kaepernick, Andy Dalton, Ryan Mallett, they've got number 41, they've got number 49, which is number 9 and number 17 tonight. What Washington has to analyze and dissect over the next 4 or 5 hours: can we wait on 41 or even 49 to get the guy we need, or do we have to call the Patriots right now? Do we have to call the Patriots and make sure we get our guy, even if that means giving up a first-round pick next year? I don't think it would be smart business for the Redskins to do it, but I think if the Redskins don't do it, that some other team will. And if they think they're going to wait at 41 and get their guy, they need to make sure that Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Arizona, who pick ahead of them and need a quarterback, plus whichever team moves up to 33, they need to make sure those teams don't take a quarterback. There is a ton of intrigue tonight from a Patriots standpoint and from a league-wide standpoint. Let's get to a couple quick emails before we wrap it up here inside the draft room. Dwight from Alabama says, I would take Jarrell Jernigan in the late second round. Small school wide receiver, Jarrell Jernigan. And, you know, I think wide receiver is definitely a position. You know, I mentioned Leonard Hankerson and Torrey Smith, but what's more likely from a Patriots standpoint is that they take the more unknown guy, and I think Jarrell Jernigan could be that one. Paul in London, hey, Brian, I like the pick, and I expected it. A typical Belichick pick, as I predicted on Wednesday. Round two, a predictable move down and take either Justin Houston or Jabal Sheard. We take Greg Little and DeMarco Murray or Ryan Williams. And then round three, we trade one pick into a second rounder next year, and the other becomes an interior offensive lineman. Well, Paul's got a good handle on what they tend to do. Move down a little bit, still take a pass rusher, maybe take an explosive offensive guy, and then later in the third round they make... Don't forget, the reason they have 33 is they traded a third rounder last year for a second rounder this year to Carolina. Carolina takes Armonte Edwards in the third round last year. They have a terrible season, and they have the first pick overall. That's a great point, Paul, that they take a third rounder and move it into a second rounder next year. The biggest stunner here from Paul, he says, thanks and happy royal wedding day. How is he spending any time following the NFL draft on this most epic of days in England? But, Paul, we appreciate you checking in. All right. It's a big night tonight. I think this is where the Patriots make their hay. They've got three picks in the second round, two in the third. They'll probably move up, down, and around, and maybe add more picks for next year, but it should be an interesting one. The PFW guys will be right here on Patriots.com tonight from 6 to 9. I will be back next Wednesday. I know it's a long time to wait, but next Wednesday, inside the draft room, recapping and running down all of the seven rounds and thinking in terms of what the Patriots did, what they could have done, what they didn't do. And don't forget, catch us on Patriots Today all throughout the day. We'll have stuff from Nate Solder, who's going to be on hand later on, and then analyzing and dissecting the second round picks. Thanks to everyone who emailed in and called in inside the draft room. Enjoy day two of the draft.